This election season, NPR's political correspondents Peter Overby and Andrea Seabrook to track the money flowing into partisan politics. Along the way, they found a challenge. Here's a page from Andrea's reporter's notebook.
In Shakespeare's epic tale, Juliet asks, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet." My question is, does it work the other way around? Does a fuzzy name make fish smell less fishy? This election season, the TV airwaves are saturated in many places with nasty, snarling attack ads like these.
What planet is Congresswoman Kathy Dahlkemper living on?
But Keith Rothfuss says,
"I believe in free trade."
We know what that means.
Jill Sestak, laughably liberal.
Job killer Pat Toomey. Maybe he ought to run for Senate in China.
That's a choice few Peter Overby and I recorded on a recent trip to Pittsburgh, a hot battleground. Some of the ads come from recognizable sources, like the Republican Governors Association and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. But the vast majority come from private, often newly formed nonprofit groups that, by law, don't have to tell anyone where their funding comes from. Groups like Americans for Job Security, Crossroads, Grassroots Political Strategies, and the Commission on Hope, Growth, and Opportunity. The point is, do voters, who seem to almost universally hate attack ads, like them any better when they're sponsored by these happy, innocuously named organizations? And does it matter to voters that it is these very groups that create a wide open path for vast amounts of secret corporate money to flow into politics? It's a situation that was created in large part by the Supreme Court decision last winter called Citizens United. The court ruled that corporations, like people, have free speech rights and can't be barred from spending money on politics. All those groups with fuzzy names allow corporations to do it without having to tell anyone how much they're spending or on which campaigns. That protects businesses from potentially annoying half their clients or patrons who may not hold the same political views, and from appearing to buy representation in Congress. Thing is, here in the NPR newsroom, we can't figure out what to call these groups. They're not affiliated with candidates or the parties. They're certainly not non-political or non-partisan. Calling them special interests sounds pejorative, and independent group sounds meliorative. That's the opposite of pejorative. I looked it up. So we put the question to you. What should we call these groups? And don't be snarky. We need your help. Send your ideas through Facebook or Twitter at NPR Weekend or on NPR.org. Next week, we'll read some of your thoughts. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Washington.
Boy, I feel ameliorated. You're listening to NPR News.